The conflict in Libya is, at its heart, about ending the decades-old Gaddafi regime. But conflicts are often more complicated than they might appear. They're influenced by a complex set of factors, including, perhaps, the weather. A study published today in the journal Nature finds a significant correlation between the outbreak of conflict and the weather. More precisely, the study found a strong relationship between the outbreak of conflict in tropical countries and regular climate variations caused by the global climate pattern known as the El Niño-La Niña cycle. Solomon Chung was the lead author of the study, which he conducted as a doctoral candidate at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. He's now at Princeton University. Dr. Chung, you looked back over more than 50 years of climate and conflict data for the study. In the simplest terms, what did you look at and what did you find?
Well, we found that when the global climate was in the wetter and cooler La Niña state, the risk of civil conflict in tropical countries was 3 in 100, okay? So if you had 100 countries, you would expect 3 to start a new civil war in any given year. But then when the global climate shifts to its hotter and drier El Niño state, we observe that the risk of conflict actually doubles all the way up to 6%, so 6 out of 100. This means that since 1950, El Niño has played a role in approximately 20% of all conflicts around the world.
How often does that cycle happen, that El Niño-La Niña cycle?
So an El Niño event occurs around every 4 to 7 years, but it's a little bit random, which makes it a little bit hard to predict.
Right. And given that randomness, is 20% of global conflicts influenced by these weather patterns, is that a strong enough correlation or is it coincidental?
So it's a very strong correlation, in fact, in a statistical sense. And we do other tests to make sure that this is not just a result that one would get by chance. So one of the tests we do is we look at those countries much further north that are not affected by El Niño. And we look at whether or not they exhibit conflicts in El Niño years. And we find that there's no response. So you can think of that as something like a placebo test. Mm. We also look within the year. So in the tropical countries where we observe conflict, we look at what times they begin conflict, in which months. And we find that the new conflicts that seem to be occurring in phase with El Niño actually occur at the same time of year as the El Niño events occur.
What is it specifically about the El Niño-La Niña weather pattern that does this?
So that's a difficult question, and we don't actually have the data to answer it completely. We do know that El Niño leads to hotter and drier conditions throughout the tropics, and we also know that it leads to poor yields and low incomes in the agricultural sector throughout the tropics. So what it does is it clearly causes economic contraction. Now, how that leads to conflict is still up for debate.
I see. We should make it clear what the study does not look at, and that's the relationship of man-made climate change to conflict. It's a question that many people are asking these days. Will the warmer and more volatile climate that we're already creating for ourselves lead to or somehow worsen conflict around the world? What do you think about that?
So that's a very difficult question, and one we would love to answer if we could. But the results of this study are somewhat limited to particularly looking at El Niño. The structure of El Niño is quite different from the structure of human-induced warming. So El Niño happens very rapidly, and it happens mainly throughout the tropics, whereas human-induced warming is going to happen more gradually, and it's going to affect the whole world. Now, that said, the populations that are experiencing conflict in response to El Niño have been subject to El Niño cycles for thousands of years, and yet they still respond to these events with violence. So it's a little bit difficult to imagine a situation where we're able to adapt so successfully to future changes that happen only over a matter of decades and are larger in absolute magnitude, that we're going to be able to avoid violence altogether.
What do you think we can learn from this research that's going to be relevant to governments and NGOs?
Well, I hope, one of our hopes is that this work can be used to avert the humanitarian crises associated with civil conflicts. So right now, our models of El Niño are sufficiently good that we can actually forecast it up to 2 years in advance. And so with this kind of advanced warning, we're hoping that governments, international aid groups, international organizations can sort of provide advanced warning both to people on the ground and perhaps prepare themselves better for sort of anticipated periods of protracted conflicts.
So knowing this, for example, you might be able to say there's a civil strife in Somalia. We know that people are going to be on the move and there could be a famine like there is this summer.
Actually, in fact, the events in Somalia were forecast using El Niño forecasts 2 years ago, but it wasn't really taken very seriously by the international community. So we're hoping that our study will give more credibility to these kinds of forecasts and help the international community take them much more seriously.
Well, Dr. Cheung, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Solomon Cheung is the lead author of a study on the association between civil conflicts and global climate, published in the latest edition of Nature.